Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Natural gas bills will be $46 a month higher compared to last year. The Gen 40 has dual hybrid technology and will reduce your heating bill every month and save you money. Save $50 on the Gen 40 with code HOWIE50 at EdenPureDeals.com.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Tuesday, and this week is just flying by. It's a nice fall Tuesday. I've got my first fall sweater on of the season, and I'm so excited to be with all of you. We have a great show planned. I know I say that every day, but today is no exception to that. We have Councilman Joe Borelli.
That's accuracy in reporting is what that is.
Yeah, no one's going to fact check that. We have Councilman Joe Borelli joining us. He's the Minority Whip of the New York City Council. He represents Staten Island, not Long Island. Don't come after me. Staten Island. And he's going to join us in the 1 o'clock to talk about some of the subway riders who have been terrorized in New York City, how politicians there are handling this surge in violent crime. Hint, they're in denial. And also, we'll talk a little bit about the Hochul-Zeldin race and Eric Adams's response to the migrants who are being sent in to the Big Apple. Now, oh, by the way, I just want to give people a little heads up. One of the tips, I didn't understand this till today. There's a woman, she's a city councilwoman in New York, and she's under a lot of heat right now because she said that subway attacks are one in a million. It's actually on Fox. I'm looking at it right now. So I'm glad that I got my finger on the pulse here. I'm glad they're running with the same thing. She tweets out this thing saying that subway violence is one in a million. And basically that the media, people like me, are fear-mongering and they're making it bigger than it is. Now, the woman, if you guys remember this, a few weeks ago, who was brutally attacked in the subway in New York and, in fact, lost vision in her eye, one of her eyes, I think it's her right eye, and might never regain vision in that eye, was on Fox today saying how ridiculous it is to make that statement. And so I'm reading this story in the New York Post, and I'm kind of looking into the woman who was attacked and whether or not she'd come on the show and all these different things. And as I start going, and this is why Howie always tells me, read to the bottom of the articles, because you'll find little nuggets in there. And I did. There was this nugget about what this city councilwoman had tweeted out a few days ago about tips on how to stay safe if you're confronted, if maybe you find yourself in this one in a million situation.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
And one of the tips, I'm going to give you two of the tips as a teaser, okay? These are the two I found the most amusing. One of the tips, if you find yourself with a crazy person in New York City, again, the odds are very slim, is to spill your soda as a method of distraction. I'm not joking. This was on a poster that she was handing out to people. You're laughing, Jared, but I'm not joking. This was a serious tip as to how to stay safe. You find yourself in a scary situation with a lunatic on the subway. If you've got a soda in your hand, it's time to spill it.
Oh, it's laughable. Can you even get soda in New York anymore? I thought they outlawed that.
You just can't get an extra, extra large.
Ah, I'm a fourth degree black belt with my extra large Slurpee cup.
No, you got to spill your Bloomberg approved small soda all over the subway. The second tip, I don't know which one. This actually could have been the poll question. Which tip is more ludicrous? The second tip is to say to the attacker or the lunatic who's scaring everyone on the subway, is to say to them, didn't we go to high school together? And that's going to throw them so off where they go, did we? I was going to punch this woman in the face, but now that you say it, you look so damn familiar.
I sit next to you in French class.
Yeah. Were you in my geometry class? I do kind of remember you. You've lost weight. It's just absurd. And we will get to it. And some of the stories that come out of New York are not funny at all, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but the way that these politicians want to help you help yourself is pretty laughable. And also, if it's a one in a million chance, then why do I have to be prepped to spill my soda at any time? These are the same people, by the way, who don't want you to have guns, who don't want you to have any means to protect yourself. And you know what? For good reason. You don't need to protect yourself. You got an extra large orange soda at the ready. It doesn't specify what kind of soda would be best, though. What? Coke on the ground, would that be more distracting? I think an orange, I almost think that an orange soda would be good because maybe that's, it's eye-catching.
Well, Toby, who's coming on it too, always says you want to have more ammunition than you need in any given situation. So I think the suicide soda is the way to go, where you get a little bit of everything down the fountain.
Oh,
that
have
way
you ever
you're just
done that?
A whole mix. Yes, it's disgusting.
That
I did
is
it when
disgusting.
I was like 12. It was terrible.
That's a guy thing. I hate to be sexist here, and I hate to
I'm
gender people, but
just for pure assault reasons, for distractionary assault soda reasons, I think the suicide is the way to go.
Should people in New York City
or Mr. Pibb? I'll take the slings on that one. I don't care.
Should people just be carrying around sodas with them all the time? This is going to get expensive.
What about cans? I mean, are we going to have to? Are those pre-banned, like the pre-banned weapon? Like, we need a hierarchy of like bottle, can, not big gulp.
Well, with the bottles, you could get the spray. With the bottles, you could have a little champagne action, and that could be a little jarring. But what I will say, to
carry
your point,
some weaponized Mentos just to make it serious.
But to your point about the cans, I believe it was Brooke Baldwin who at one point thought that the opening of a soda can was a gunshot sound in the studio. Yes. So perhaps the cans are where it's at.
Again, distract them. They think it's a gun, and then you dump it on the floor, and they say, wow, that's making a mess. Why would you do that? I'm not going to stab you now.
That's going to be so sticky. That is, oh gosh, what an inconvenience. You've ruined my day, and you've ruined everyone's day, and now I'm not going to go through with this attack because I've been so distracted by your sloppiness. Again, I did not plan on talking about this in the first segment, but you know what? Sometimes you don't know where life's going to take you. On a separate note, what should we go after first here? Joe Biden's comments or Herschel Walker? I think I'll do Herschel Walker because that will get it out of the way, and then you know that I'll be very frank. I'm waiting on more information, which I know is not allowed in today's news media. But if you've missed this story, the Daily Beast has a story that basically says that Herschel Walker, who's running in Georgia, paid for a woman to get an abortion in 2009. Now, the Daily Beast claims to have a bank deposit receipt that showed an image of a signed personal check from Walker, a $570 receipt from the abortion clinic, and a get well card signed by Herschel Walker. I believe they have images of this on the site too, but I don't think I could get through the paywall or something, but it did say they have images. Now, here's what you need to know. Walker says it's a flat out lie. He denies it. He says it's a hit job. He says this is, you know, slander. He's going to sue. Notably though, and this was kind of the weird part, his son, who up until this point was very supportive of his father, turned on him on Twitter last night and was just blasting him all night long on Twitter. Does that confirm the report? No. But it was a strange turn of events, and it definitely puts Walker in a tough position going into these midterms. The timing of it couldn't be worse, which is not lost on me. I'm not naive. I understand the timing of this would make everyone skeptical. All I'm saying is I was reading about it from CNN. They couldn't independently verify it yet. I'm just going to wait because it wouldn't be the first time the media's run with something from an anonymous source, and then they weren't able to back it up. If all those documents are true, that's a different story, and we'll get into that. But as of right now, the validity of the accusation, I'm not 100% on. All right. If anyone wants to talk about that, more than welcome. 844-500-4242. Now, for the cut... Oh, go ahead, Jared.
I was just going to say, and we do have to be careful, too, because they say they have images of signed checks and things like that. Herschel Walker was a football player in the USFL and the NFL. His autograph is everywhere on the internet. I'm just
very good point. Very good point. Yeah, I'm really not sure yet. On one hand, I am always skeptical of the media when they come out with these stories because they have been wrong before. I think that's perfectly reasonable for me to want to take a beat and see if anyone else confirms this. But it could be true. I wouldn't be shocked. you know, it wouldn't be the craziest thing I've ever heard. It is strange that it comes out right before the midterms, but that's politics. All right. Now, another part of today's media headlines is that Joe Biden went to Puerto Rico. Well, actually, you know, we might want to save this because Joe Biden went to Puerto Rico. And what I've realized about Joe is that something that gets underrated as far as his characteristics, we all pay attention to the fact that he's not the brightest bulb, that he gets confused very easily. What people don't focus on enough is just how narcissistic this dude is. Every single thing he talks about, he has to relate back to himself. Every single place he goes, he has to talk about how his family talked about it around. He'll go to Israel and he's talking about the Holocaust, and he has to talk about how it affected his family and how they used to talk about the Holocaust. And his dad used to tell him about the Holocaust. Anything he goes to has to become about the Bidens. The entire world revolves around the Bidens, and they have a link to everything in every culture, in every town, and every event in history links back to Joe Biden. And Puerto Rico is no exception. I'm going to play this sound for you. We'll talk about it. We have so much planned for today. We also have Toby Leary, as Jared mentioned, at the 2 o'clock hour. So don't forget about that. That should be really fun. We'll take all your questions for Toby. The number is 844-500-4242. I'm going to save that Joe Biden sound because I really want to break it down. I want to break down just how self-absorbed this man is. And, you know, as much as he's fallen off a little bit, you know, and he's in cognitive decline, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Right now it says, last week Biden wandered off the stage. That's the headline on Fox right now. But his narcissism is as sharp as ever. You know, that's something that hasn't faltered. All right, now, have you looked at your retirement account lately? Wall Street is in a downturn, and it's taking your retirement money with it. And Jared, I'm going to be real with you. It stinks.
Yes, it does.
And
a lot of money that we all previously had.
And it was all unnecessary, but thanks to people voting for Joe Biden, now we are in this predicament. And every time I look at my retirement account, I kind of wince, and then I hope for the best. But you can do more than hoping for the best. You can actually be pretty proactive about this, and you can protect your retirement so you don't lose any more money. Now, the best part about this entire thing is that the way you can protect your retirement is free. You're getting two free guides from Monetary Gold. And now I'm going to tell you the titles of the free guides because it's going to give you a little tease into what Monetary Gold can help you with. The first one is First 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. The second one is the 2022 Monetary Gold Protection Guide. Now, these free guides will show you how to protect your assets and get through this financial crisis. Now, as a lot of people know, in the 70s, inflation was high. Well, gold increased in value 2,300%. And today, you can buy physical gold or silver and roll over your IRA or 401k retirement account. So gold and silver can help you diversify your risk and protect your retirement in these uncertain times. Whenever there's times like this that are uncertain, people can often feel defeated and hopeless, but there's a way to work around it. There's a way to get through it. So call Monetary Gold now to get your two free guides. These are totally free. It's 800-267-6500. That's 800-267-6500. Or go to monetarygold.com/grace. Again, that's 800-267-6500. Or go to monetarygold.com/grace. Tons to talk about. I want to take calls from all of you in this first hour. It's 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. All right, so let's get into the Joe Biden of it all. Yesterday, he told an audience in Puerto Rico that I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically. despite the fact, and I'm reading from the New York Post, that only 2,000 people of Puerto Rican ancestry lived in Delaware when he was launching his career 5 decades ago. Now, I want to play the cut, and then I would like to take calls on it, because I have questions. I have a lot of questions.
I hardly remember those days.
Let's play Joe Biden yesterday with the gaffe that I think deserves the most attention. Haven't seen a lot of articles about it, except from the New York Post and Fox. Let's take a listen.
But we have a very, in relative terms, large Puerto Rican population in Delaware, relative to our population. We have the 8th largest black population in the country, and between all minorities, we have 20% of our state is minority. And so I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically.
You know, I will say this. If I'm listening to a speech from this guy and he's just rattling off how big the minority group was in the state he grew up in, like it's something that's going to make me vote for him, or, you know, I owe him my support because of that, it just feels very weak. You're like, oh, that good for you. I don't know what you want me to say to those numbers. But then beyond that, when he says I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community politically, not sure what he means by that. I really don't know. But what I do know, and we're gonna actually rely heavily here on this New York Post article, because Steve Nelson, he's one of the only reporters who asks tough questions in the press briefings. He was the same reporter who asked Karine Jean-Pierre recently about Joe's mess up with Representative Jackie Walorski, where he asked where she was, even though the congresswoman has been deceased since August. But he talks about how none of this adds up, and then he goes into some of Joe Biden's biggest lies and biggest tall tales that he likes to spin whenever he gets in front of a crowd. But even if the numbers don't add up, and we're going to get to that, and you know how actually, and let me just read you one number here. According to the 1970 U.S. Census, Delaware had about 2,154 people who were either born in Puerto Rico or descended from Puerto Rican parents. Roughly 0.39% of the state's population of nearly 550,000 at the time. 0.39%. But even if the numbers don't add up, what does he mean? And why does it need to be about him? Like, this is his narcissistic, empty way of connecting with the crowd. It's beyond ridiculous, and it's not true, but it's so egotistical. And everyone knows someone like this. Everybody knows someone who has to one-up you, you know, and make it about themselves. So you say, oh, you know, I'm running a 5K. I ran a marathon once. Oh, you know, I'm getting married. When I got married, I was featured in Bridal Magazine. That's Joe Biden. It always, he has to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. And it doesn't matter what it has to do with. And he does this with everything. All he had to do to win over the liberal media yesterday was mention Donald Trump. And which he did, you know, a little bit yesterday when he was saying Puerto Rico wasn't cared for very well. He was insinuating that the former guy didn't do a good job. But that's not enough for him. It's not enough just to, you know, gain some easy points. He has to bring it back to him on such a bogus level. So when we come back, I want to read you some of the, I guess you could call them best moments or worst moments of Joe Biden doing this. It's happened so often. Some of these I forgot about. You know which one I forgot about and wasn't even that long ago? Was when Biden said at the Naval Academy's graduation ceremony in May that he was appointed to the military school in 1965 by the late Senator J.K. Boggs.
How's an old guy do that?
A search of Boggs' archives failed to turn up evidence of the appointment. You don't say. Can't find the evidence when we need it.
I used to be a battleship during World War II.
He's been everything. He's a chameleon. He's been everything. Everything goes back to him. He's like Forrest Gump. It's just his photo is just inserted into every historical event since, what, 1850? It's absurd.
Yeah, that's when he got into Congress 180 years ago.
Yeah. And so we're going to go through these. And you can, you know, if I'm forgetting one, Steve Nelson only had a certain amount of words that he could fit into this article. And then it goes all the way back to when he was plagiarizing. Like, he has to become something he's not to try to feel validated by these audiences. And it's just bizarre at this point. 844-500-4242. Also, Pelosi predicts the Democrat Party will keep the House. We'll talk about that and so much more. And we'll take all your calls when we come back. So stay on the line. It's Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I was born a poor black child. I remember the days sitting on the porch with my family, singing and dancing down in Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We are going to talk a little bit more about Joe Biden pandering to a crowd in Puerto Rico. But I have breaking news here, and luckily our celeb expert of the Howie Carr Radio Network, Taylor Cormier, who I didn't think knew anything about celebrities unless they were from 1945, was the one who told me about this. Tom Brady and Giselle, according to Page Six, have both hired divorce lawyers.
Oh, no.
I'm actually really surprised.
Yeah. I'm not after everything I've heard recently, but I'm surprised that it got to a point like this.
I'm also surprised, and I have learned about celebrity news that typically where there's smoke, there's fire. I always thought, you know, Page Six, the Daily Mail, you read these things, there's no way. They don't tend to report things unless something is brewing. And now they have multiple sources saying that they've got divorce lawyers, there's no turning back, they're probably going to look into how to split up their finances, which is going to be a massive undertaking. I just told this to everyone in the green room. No marriage is splitting up surprise me at this point in my life. When I was younger, things used to surprise me. Who can forget Jen and Brad? That was a big shocker. But now I understand that you never know what's going on behind closed doors. I didn't really want to talk about it because it's their marriage and whatever, but I will tell people this little thing. Everyone knows on this show that one of my first times getting on with Howie was talking about Tom Brady and how much I love Tom Brady. And that love has not wavered. I still am a huge TB fan. But I will say this. I think that if he told Giselle that he was going to retire, he made that big announcement, and then he backtracked and wanted to go back without really consulting her, I do think he's in the wrong on that. I mean, let's not forget here, and I promise, everyone just give me like 30 seconds. I promise I'm not going to talk about this for a long time. I can hear all the grumpy people in their cars being like, I don't want to listen to this. Just give me 2 seconds, okay? Let me get it off my chest. Here's my issue. Giselle Bundchen was the top supermodel in the world when they got together. She was making way more money than he was. And she put that all aside to be a good wife, to take care of her kids. And maybe she does feel like, come on, dude, it's time to hang it up. And also, it probably does feel a little bit hurtful where you're like, all right, here we go. He retired. Wahoo, he's finally going to get to spend time with his family. He guy didn't even last like 3 days before he came back and said, I can't do this. I got to get back on the field. So I am leaning towards Team Giselle on that. But that's just the update. Could be wrong, could be false. But Page Six, they're usually pretty good with these things. All right, now moving back to Joe Biden. Moving back to Joe Biden. And the number, if you want to weigh in, is 844-500-4242. Let's play the cut again. And I don't want to focus too much on the fact that he's pandering to this crowd in Puerto Rico and that he's lying and that this is something that has made up his political career, just regurgitating these ridiculous stories that nobody fact checks, that nobody debunks, that nobody calls him out on. I actually want to talk about what's happening
pure Biden
with Hispanic voters. Now, to be fair to Joe, compared to Jill's comments about Hispanic voters being as unique as breakfast tacos, this doesn't seem bad at all. This is just an old grandpa rambling and ranting about things that aren't true. Even so, though, with the way things are going for Democrats and the way the landscape is shifting, that's my new favorite phrase, when it comes to Hispanic voters, I don't think that this is going to save liberals. Joe Biden talking about how he was raised in the Puerto Rican community.
Politically,
not spiritually, not
Physically,
politically. Keep that in mind. All right, let's play it again, and then I want to get into some of the stats here.
But we have a very, in relative terms, large Puerto Rican population in Delaware, relative to our population.
Pause it right there. Because again, I know I already read everyone this, but it's important to note that he's talking about being raised in the Puerto Rican community politically. And his evidence of that is that they have a large Puerto Rican population. According to the 1970 U.S. Census, Delaware had about 2,154 people who were either born in Puerto Rico or descended from Puerto Rican parents. That's roughly 0.39% of the state's population of nearly 550,000 at the time. Okay? The number of Puerto Ricans in Delaware reached 4,857%, which is 0.81% of the state's population, by the time Biden was serving his second term in the U.S. Senate in 1980.
Exponentially.
In other words, that is false. I did not go to fact-checking MSNBC University, but that is false.
That is false.
I don't care how much you want to stretch it. It doesn't hold up, okay? It stinks to high heavens. Okay, let's continue.
Relative to our population, we have the eighth largest black population in the country, and between all minorities, we have 20% of our state is minority. And so I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically.
You know, and I guess this is harkening back to what I've already said about this in the first segment, but don't you get the sense, and I'm going to be very careful here because I would never want to accuse Joe of not being authentic and being a callous jerk who only has political motivations and is just a terrible person.
You got good blood, kid.
Would not want to do that. But does anyone else get the sense when he's rattling off these numbers, because he's a numbers guy, that he doesn't actually care about any of these minority groups? They are just a number to him. They are just a statistic he can cart out when he wants to at certain events. Or is that just me? Am I missing the part of this where I'm supposed to feel like, ooh, he really cares. Grandpa Joe really cares. And then you go into, and we will go into all of the other times he's done this, and they list it off in the New York Post. But before we get to that, let's talk about what's happening with Hispanic voters. Because Rich Lowry has a really good piece where he talks about how the Democrats can't rely on the monolithic Hispanic voting bloc they imagined would guarantee them an enduring electoral majority. An NBC News Telemundo poll of Hispanics has Democrats ahead of Republicans in the battle of Congress, 54-33%. That's a healthy lead, but it's down from prior polls. Now, in specific places, a Siena College poll shows Governor Ron DeSantis, he's the guy who purposely sabotaged everyone during the hurricane, in case you haven't read any of the recent reports, and Senator Marco Rubio, both running for re-election in Florida, above 50% among Hispanics. A new poll for the Nevada Independent has Republican Adam Laxalt challenging Democrat Catherine Cortez Masto, down by only 2 points among Hispanics. And what Rich Lowry gets into, which I think is really, really insightful, is that Hispanics, and of course, this is not all Hispanics. I'm going to be a lot more careful than Joe because they are not a monolithic voting group. But there's a good portion of Hispanics who have clashing cultural attitudes with strong progressives. In other words, the woke agenda of the left doesn't line up with how a lot of Hispanics feel. And they are not self-aware enough to realize that. And here are just a few sites from a survey. 66% of progressives reject the idea that America is the greatest country in the world. 70% of Hispanics disagree. Asked whether racism is built into our society or comes from individuals, 94% of progressives say it's systemic, and 58% of Hispanics say it's from individuals. The same divides are evident on transgender sports, defunding the police, and the importance of hard work. So this is not going to be, and another point that Rich Lowry makes, which is very important to note, is that Republicans do not have to win Hispanics outright to change American politics. They just have to eat away at the Democratic margins. And that's a really brilliant point, because you don't have to win everybody. The Democrats need the minority votes to survive. And if Republicans start slowly taking away those votes, it's going to spell out big problems for liberals. Now, Nancy Pelosi might disagree, because Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats are trying to convince people that they have nothing to worry about in these upcoming midterms. And at the same time, and let's play Nancy Pelosi here, Jared, because that will bring us to our poll question. But I do want to point out that at the same time, I keep reading these headlines about whether or not Joe is going to help certain candidates in certain races, whether or not he should show up. That to me is a problem, because if Joe represents your party's agenda, if Joe is the face of all of the winning streaks that the Democrats are on, if Joe is this progressive that everyone embraces, he's part of the Puerto Rican community, he was raised in it politically, if he is this angel of wokeism,
okay, Jacques, vamanos,
then why wouldn't you want him next to all your candidates? That doesn't add up. Let's take a listen to Nancy Pelosi. She was on, what show was this, Jared? I don't even know.
This was
Late
Colbert.
Show. Which is, as Stephen Miller pointed out, it's therapy for liberals at this point. They sit on a big couch, they complain about Donald Trump, and they try to convince a dwindling audience that their party is the one to choose. Go ahead.
I believe that we will win the hold the House, and we will hold the House by winning more seats. We won the 40 seats, then we lost some when Trump was on the ballot. We lost some of the Trump districts, but we held enough seats to hold the House with him on the ballot. He's not on the ballot now. Oh, did I say his name? I didn't mean to.
We'll have the videotapes fumigated.
Perhaps you could leap that
no
out.
Worries, okay. No worries. It is a family show.
Oh, you know, I say this from time to time, but I'm most worried for the audience members. What has gone on in your life that you're at a Stephen Colbert live taping and Nancy Pelosi, who's 80,000 years old, is going, did I say his name? Can you bleep that out? And there's a woman in the laugh track, Jared, who goes like this. They sound like seagulls at the beach. Did you hear that one? We're going to have to play that again. Yikes. I'm concerned for everybody involved in that. Oh, my gosh. I love how she's explaining it, too. I think we're going to win the House, and you do that by winning more seats. You don't say, Nancy. Any more wisdom you want to bestow on us plebes? We need to know more about how this works.
What's that about?
Today's poll question is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Democrats will keep control of the House? Although maybe I should phrase it, will the Democrats hold the House, as Nancy said?
I don't, because Nancy Pelosi going on Stephen Colbert to talk about this makes me feel like we're in trouble. Or they're in trouble, I should say. I'm not part of it.
92% of the audience agrees with you. They do not believe Democrats will hold the House.
Yeah, and there's a story out, and I know this is the Senate, not the House, but there's a story in Washington Examiner. It's titled, "These two races could decide the Senate. Will Biden get involved?" And it talks about Georgia and Nevada. And I love, nothing makes me happier than Joe Biden wanting to show up to these races and lend his support to these politicians. And they're all just ducking and dodging and diving and weaving. They don't want anything to do with him. They're swerving him.
Did you hear Tim Ryan?
Yeah, no, I did. And you know what I love, though, about Tim Ryan, Ohio? My favorite thing that they do now, and I'm on to this, I think I should be a politician because I'm on to all these tricks. They say, do you want Joe Biden to come and campaign for you? Well, I'm not asking anybody to come and campaign for me. I'm out here by myself. Right. But you understand that we're asking about Joe Biden because he's the president. We're not asking about anybody. You don't want Grace Curley to come out and campaign for you. I understand that. But Joe Biden, he's got weight behind him. He has passed the most sweeping climate agenda of all time. He has
Kindleization.
He has spent so much of Americans' money. He has had the highest inflation in decades. You don't want that dude on the campaign trail with you? Come on. Come on, man. Show him some love. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. And if you need any proof, first of all, Howie had his teeth done by Dr. Houghton years ago, and he still gets compliments all the time. And also, if you go to their website, you can check out all the video testimonials, because people are really honest about how, you know, they hemmed and hawed for a long time. They waited on this. They weren't sure. And then it totally changed their lives. And when I watched the video testimonials, what I noticed the most is that people's biggest regrets were that they didn't go to Dr. Houghton sooner and make this change. Because when you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds a lot of confidence in your professional life and your personal life, in all aspects of your life. You just feel better. And now's the time to do it. You know, don't wait. Don't hear this and say, I'm going to put it off. It's really easy to make an appointment to have a consultation with Dr. Houghton. And he is the nicest man ever. His entire team at Perfect Smiles is wonderful. You're going to love them. You're going to have zero regrets. So call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're conveniently located right off Route 3. They've got plenty of parking, and you can reach them at perfectsmiles.com to check out their video testimonials. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We will be right back with your calls. Stay on the line. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley for a delightful afternoon.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Afternoon delight.
We have a lot of New York in the news, including the most recent subway attack, and one councilwoman's way of downplaying the violence that people are seeing in the subway. And we're going to ask Joe Borelli all about it in the 1 o'clock hour. But before we get to that, let's go to the calls. The number is 844-500-4242. Let's go to Derek. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Derek.
Hi, Grace. I just want to echo your sentiments about Biden being like a complete narcissist. He's been that way for the last five decades in politics. He lied about plagiarized one of his papers in law school, said he graduated top 5% of his class when he finished like at number five from the bottom. The Neil Kinnock speech plagiarizing he did back, I think it was 87. So I agree with you. The guy is just a complete narcissist and everything is about him. That's always the way it's been with him.
Yeah. And you know what, Derek, is funny is that he never really got that reputation. I don't know if it's because the media didn't hype him up as much as they did other narcissists. But when I think of egomaniacs in politics, obviously you think of Trump. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to deny that. But Trump actually had some pretty cool things to brag about. Another person you might think of is Barack Obama. He loves to talk about himself. Who can forget all the times he would say I during his speeches? But the media also went along with that in glorifying everything that he did. With Biden, I think it goes under the radar because for a long time he was kind of a joke and he would get caught plagiarizing and he would get caught making these gaffes. But underneath that is a person who truly thinks every single thing that's ever happened is somehow deeply personal to him.
My good.
He goes to events where people have suffered tragedy and he talks about his own tragedies. And I'm not denying the fact that the man has known a lot of tragedy. I've said this on the show multiple times that I feel for him. And, you know, it is heartbreaking what he's gone through. But you're not supposed to be at an event where someone just lost a son in Afghanistan because of what happened in Kabul and make it about your story. It's the real sign of someone who can't get out of their own way, who just makes everything. It's like he's a vacuum. It always comes back to him. And there's so many examples of it. We'll get to those later. All right, coming up, we're talking to City Councilman Joe Borelli from Staten Island. Don't go anywhere. We have a lot to ask him, and then we'll go back to taking your calls and playing some of this crazy sound from today. We'll be right back with more. It's Tuesday, and it's the Grace Curley Show.